blood for patients in Champaign-Urbana, Charleston, Mattoon, Danville, and Effingham. There are no substitutes for donated blood. Blood donation takes 45 minutes and saves lives. Information at 367-2202 or at bloodservices.org. Blood donation, it's about life.
Cloudy with periods of rain and maybe a thunderstorm today, and rain lingering into the weekend. Meteorologist Ed Kieser will be along in 5 minutes with details on our forecast, etc. But first, AM 580 News. Here's Jeff Bossert.
Thanks, Jay. Good morning. A public hearing on the proposed closing of Pontiac Correctional Center filled the local high school to overflowing last night. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports on the 5 hours of testimony before a state commission charged with reviewing the closure.
Department of Corrections Executive Chief Sergio Molina testified that budget constraints dictated the closure of the Pontiac prison so they could open the much newer state prison at Thompson.
And when we've had Thompson Correctional Center sitting vacant and completed since November of 2001, and we're in a position we are right now because of the budget, we had to make a very difficult decision. What are we going to spend that taxpayer dollars on? And we made the decision that we want to operate Thompson.
But Pontiac Mayor Scott McCoy says closing the prison would drive jobs out of town, not just those of prison employees, but also those of their spouses, most of whom not only work but serve other roles.
As these people are also our community volunteers, blood donors, charity workers, peewee football and junior baseball coaches, church members, organizational leaders, PTA parents, and most of all, our friends and our neighbors.
Those spouses include Vicky DeLong, who runs a local restaurant. DeLong says if her husband has to take another corrections job elsewhere, they'll have to uproot their children from the community, including one who is autistic.
I find it ironic that the governor didn't want to move his family into Springfield to the governor's mansion when he took office because he didn't want to interrupt his daughter's lifestyle. Well, Governor Blagojevich, I have 5 children, and they don't want their lifestyles interrupted either.
The State Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability will issue its non-binding ruling on the proposed prison closure in the next few weeks, in time for release of a final report by September 24th. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Officials say its state task force has conducted a sweep of more than 200 mortgage companies to make sure they're complying with a new law designed to combat predatory lending. 22 examiners will audit randomly selected loan files from the sweep that ended yesterday. Officials say the Mortgage Fraud Task Force is looking for 5 things. They include that the borrower will be able to pay the costs of the loan, that the company gave borrowers copies of home appraisals, and that the company disclosed how much the mortgage broker was paid. Officials say the task force will investigate companies that don't comply with the Anti-Predatory Lending Act. Governor Blagojevich signed the law in November. Most of its provisions went into effect in June. Chicago's Urban League is suing to overturn Illinois' system for funding public schools. Gabriel Spitzer has that story.
The system is so unfair, it violates the state constitution. That's what the Urban League hopes to convince a Cook County judge. Illinois relies heavily on property taxes to pay for education. Urban League President Cheryl Jackson says that translates into worse outcomes for minorities.
All I'm doing is looking at the facts. More than 50% of dropouts are African-American. More than 60% of African-American men and Latino are dropping out. I look at those outcomes and I see a violation of rights.
The suit names the state of Illinois and the State Board of Education as defendants. A spokesman said the Board of Education hasn't seen the lawsuit yet and declined to comment. An attorney for the Urban League called this the first education funding challenge brought under the Illinois Civil Rights Act of 2003. That law forbids policies that have a discriminatory effect, whether or not it's intentional. I'm Gabriel Spitzer.
Expect a big influx of traffic into Champaign-Urbana today as the official move-in day for University of Illinois freshmen changes from a weekend to a weekday. Since classes start next Monday, U of I officials decided to move move-in day to today. Assistant Housing Director Kirsten Ruby says that will mean thousands of parents and students will mix with the usual university traffic, even though it helps that a third of dorm residents have already moved in.
We opened officially at noon on Sunday, so if a parent had a problem getting here during the week, they could have come on as early as noon on Sunday. A lot of our international students are here early. They've got some orientation. And there's some freshmen who haven't done their orientation yet, their registration, so they're here on campus as well.
Ruby says incoming dorm residents have been given specific traffic routes to follow today to make sure the move-in process is as smooth as possible. Still, she says U of I faculty and staff should consider alternate means to get to work, such as the MTD, bicycling, or walking. Our next report of AM 580 News is at 8:30 with headlines at 8:06. I'm Jeff Bossert.
This morning's weather forecast is made possible with support from your locally owned Central Illinois IGA supermarkets, including your Jerry's IGA stores on Kirby Avenue in Champaign and Sullivan, and Maggio's IGA in Tolono. Hometown proud and encouraging you to join them in supporting public radio.
It's 7:35 and AM 580. Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser joins us for another in-depth look at weather on the 150th anniversary of the first of the Lincoln-Douglas debates. Morning, Ed.
Good morning. 150,
and, huh? Yep.
Started that's a while ago.
In 1858 boy, this will test somebody's history. Where was the first one?
In Illinois.
It was in Illinois.
That's the easy part.
The second one was in Freeport. The third one was in Jonesboro. The fourth one was in Charleston. The fifth one in Galesburg. Sixth in Quincy. Seventh in Alton. The first was in Ottawa.
Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There you go.
And
I only
know
that because I have it written down. I couldn't have done that off the top of my head, I admit.
And I'm guessing Lincoln was 49 years old.